numbers 10, 11, and 12. Those that are listening in the other way, give us a call if you have comments, 856-261-9018. If you have questions or comments, give the comments at questions@bftbc.org. To have you take part with us, give us a call and comment. You're going to hear from you. All right, Romans 3, and beginning verse 10, we'll read 10, 11, and 12 together. These three verses, we have the four Protestant nuns. And that's what we're going to say. You know, different ones, but here we are. What's that first one? Romans 3:10. Yes.
Gregory.
What does Gregory mean in Greek? Yes.
It means something that was completed in the past. It's this action coming down to today, and it will proceed into the future.
That's right. The sweet answer. That's a Gregory. That was written. So the Bible words, the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, have been preserved right to this very day. A lot of people don't believe that, but that's what Gregory means. And it is written. What is the first thing that's written? The first Protestant nun. What is it? Yes, Dan.
There's none righteous.
None righteous. What does that mean? Any hands on that? Put it in the end,
Barbara. That there's nobody good.
All right.
They don't do right.
Does everybody believe that?
No.
No.
They do not believe that. Yeah.
Well, the standard is God. I mean, so his perfect holiness. Mm-hmm. We're not righteous before him. It's not that people don't do good works, but good works will not get us to heaven.
Yes, Barbara?
There's only one good, and that is God. Jesus told us.
Yeah. Paul.
Even though Jesus did say that there is none righteous, no, not one, he also gives them an opportunity to repent of their sins if they're willing to do so.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, what does righteous mean? Any hands on that? What does righteous mean? Any hands on that? None righteous, what does that mean?
Rightness. Okay. Well, it's in contrast to God's holiness.
All right.
So his way is perfect, and he is perfect, and he's pure, mm-hmm. and we're spotted.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not righteous.
So righteous, no sin of any kind of offense, not a single sliver, never in all our lifetime, from the face of Adam all the way to the future. Not a single person, human being, is going to be declared as righteous. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. None. That's the first part of none. And then verse number 11, what's the second none? Any hands on that? Yeah, Barbara?
There is none that understandeth.
That's good. All right. And what is it? There again, it says again, it is written. Excuse me, 11. That's another. Okay. And what's the second? Yes.
None that speaketh after God. May I read Psalm 14?
Yes.
Or part of it? And the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God.
Okay, when Romans chapter 3 and verse 11. That one is 11? Yes. We're talking about the four Protestant nuns in these verses. We got the first one finished. What's the second verse number 11? Yes, Barbara?
None that understand.
No. What does it mean, not to understand? Any hands on it? What does it mean, not to understand?
Just what she was.
Doesn't see a hand at all. Okay, Barbara, I mean,
not to understand God's way.
All right. Now, do people think they understand, but sometimes they don't understand? Well, there's some people who think, but they're not genuinely understanding anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they can mutter words, but they're not really understanding. But none, they really understand. What do you think the understanding is talking about here? The hands of that? And Paul?
Understanding the scriptures and God's word and what God is telling them.
Yes.
Not only to do that, but understanding to be able to listen to what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. This is the attempt.
Can I read Psalm 53, verses 1 and 3?
Yes.
1 and 4, no, 1 and 3. To the chief musician upon Mahalath, Eskel, a psalm of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, corrupt are they. They have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
That's just not. Does all the people, whether non-Christian or Christian, understand what's to become of them today, tomorrow, and in the future? Does everyone understand that?
No.
Well, what is going to happen to everyone in the future as well as the present? And hence, upon the fall.
What is it saying? God looked down from heaven. What is it saying?
It's
Psalm
14:3.
Psalm 14:3.
Yeah. 1 through 3.
Okay. Paul.
Well, isn't it where he would say, I'm trying to think of where it is. Where he cannot serve God and mammon. And I think what he's saying there is for those that accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will go to be with him in eternity forever.
Mm-hmm.
And those that don't will go to hell in the lake of fire.
All right, so does the whole world understand the destiny of each one has?
No.
No, they're not. And because they don't understand what's becoming of them in the future, will that stop the destiny that they have in the future?
No.
Now, just because they don't understand it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It will happen. And none that understand it. What's the third? Yeah, Ken.
It may not stop what's going to happen in the future, but it may stop them from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't understand what's happened.
That's right.
About in the future.
That's right. So that's why we have to preach the gospel to all the world. Then they trust the Lord Jesus and truly accept him as their Savior. Yes. Die for the sins. Yes, Paul.
It also says in verse 11 that there is none that seeketh after God.
Okay, that's the next one, isn't it? Now, what does that mean? Any hands on that? None that seeketh after God.
Verse 11.
Paul, what does that mean?
I think it means where he says, I'm trying to remember where it is, I should. To find him while he is near.
Yes, call upon him while he's near. I know what that is. It's Isaiah? I'm sure.
Seek the Lord while he is near.
Call upon him while he's near. You got the first one, what's the reference? What the shill I got for us. Okay. So, as far as understanding and seeking after God, they don't seek after God and do the scriptures and do what the scriptures say about all sinners, about we are all sinners, and trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they're going to go to the destiny. Now, what about the saved, born again, genuine Christian's destiny? What is that destiny? Any hands on that? Any hands on that? Christian's destiny. Know what?
No.
Nobody knows. What is the genuine Christian's destiny? Any hands on that? Yeah.
Judgment in heaven.
What kind of judgment? Is it judgment in heaven?
Judgment in heaven.
And heaven, okay. What kind of judgment?
Not very white from.
Not very white. What is it? Joe?
Venusy.
What's another name for Venusy?
The judgment.
The judgment is right there.
I have found that verse. It's Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near.
Very good. So, the destiny of understanding what the scriptures say, huh? That's not a happy situation if people reject the Lord Jesus as their Savior and go to the lake of fire forever, eternity, in hell. But it's a great good news, if we trust Him as our Savior genuinely and go to heaven. That's a great good news. Then in the verse number 12, there's a fourth part of some or whatever. What is that fourth one before we get to that part of the verse? Yeah, Barbara.
None of you.
Now, she goes with whose opinion this time?
God's eyes.
Do people think they're doing good? Just normal people? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, both of them, whether they do, they think they're doing good even though they're doing bad. For them, good is not good, and bad is not bad. Scripture, they think it's good, but God says it's bad. But none on God's side. Now, the first part of that verse 12, Did we get to the first part of it?
What
is true in that first part of this first number 12?
All of them have gone out of the way.
And what do you think that means?
Well, they've sinned. They're non-righteous. So all of the three things we looked at before apply to them.
There is a way, a specific way to go, and they aren't in it.
That means that they've gone by the way of the world.
All right.
Following worldly paths.
Paul?
Doesn't it say, I think it's in Proverbs, there's a way to seem right.
Remember? And there are ways of death.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's called Proverbs. As you look in Proverbs, as you read through it, you'll see lots of references to the way or the path. And so it seems like, that fits in this kind of...
Yes. On out of the way, what is the way in Scripture specified? Any hands on that? Barbara?
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes. And the only way. It's
never saying the same.
And they don't realize he is the only way to have the truth about Job.
And the path is narrow?
Yes.
Well,
narrow is the way. It leads to the destruction. So much. Wise way leads unto death.
That's
destruction. Narrow is the way leads unto life. That's in
and
Matthew
6.
And few there be defined. That's Matthew 6, I think. 6 and 7. That's something like that. So they got out of the way. Notice how many have gone out of the way according to this scripture here.
All.
That's all of them. All people. When we're born, first born, who's our father? And has that? Who's our father? We're first born. Bill? And Albert. The devil.
I got a question for
you.
We are born with this sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
But children below accountability, are they're still born in sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a puzzle.
Okay. So all the little children, all the babies, all of us, our devil was our father at birth. Now, what about the little babies? They're not justified, but they're innocent. See, I'm using the word innocency. When the first time they sin, they're sin. But in babies, since they're innocent, they die before the age of accountability, the Lord will pardon them and take them to heaven. Yeah, Jill and Bill. Jill, Bill.
Sorry, last.
Jill and Bill, and then Ellen. Pardon.
Last sentence.
What did you say, John?
No, the last sentence that you said about being at below the age of accountability, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what the age is. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't know. But the point of this is to have our children tell them about the Lord and help them accept Christ as soon as you can. That's the only thing. Yeah, Bill had something.
I was just going to say pretty much the same thing. We are born sinners.
Yes.
All of us, babies. Are sinners when they come into the world.
Mm-hmm.
However, until they reach an age of understanding, they are not held accountable. It doesn't mean they're innocent. It means that they are held. They are not held accountable.
Mm-hmm. Very innocent. But Barbara, and then
You and I had the conversation about how Adam wasn't perfect. He was innocent because he only knew good.
Yes.
So children and their age of accountability is knowing the difference between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make a difference because that's why you teach children so that they know good from evil.
Yes.
I just want to read those verses that Job was referencing.
All right.
Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, and wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
That's right. Now, yes, Job.
I was going to say, I'm going to do something like also elaborate on what Barbara said. But, you know, I totally agree. Most importantly, we have to let children the way they should go, or else we're going to be shut apart from it. If there's good and evil, I mean, since our father's the devil when we're born, we have a natural tendency towards evil. So, without being taught what good is, we'll automatically do evil.
So, speaking of the Garden of Eden, when did Adam and Eve know good from bad? Hands on that.
When you ate the forbidden apple.
That's good. Because then, what did the devil say wasn't going to happen if they eat? What did the devil say?
You shall not surely die.
It's not surely die. What did God say?
You shall surely die.
Okay, what did he say about it?
He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
The day thou eatest. Now, after that.
That was when they spiritually died.
Spiritually?
And then when they partook in it, and later they would physically die.
Right. After the sin, because they know good and evil from then on.
Yeah.
They did. But innocent. See, if somebody says that when they're born, people are born, they're justified. Well, when they reach a certain age, they must lose that justification, lose their salvation. But if we use the word innocent, that's about that. Innocent means I don't know right from wrong. I don't know whether it's right or wrong. Like little babies, they don't know right from wrong. Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
From that moment, they knew right from wrong. They felt the pangs of being wrong.
Yes, they did. But first of all, they were naked, didn't know they were naked. And as soon as they were naked, they put clothes on. And they did see that Bill, I mean, that Dan.
Generally, innocence reserved just for Adam and Eve?
Probably, yes. No, or maybe little babies.
From a doctrinal standpoint, not in a connotative sense, but in a doctrinal standpoint.
It's possible because they only Adam and Eve were innocent. On the other hand, little babies who are not, until they know what's right and wrong, they don't, aren't they innocent at all?
Well, I mean, connotatively, yes, they might be.
Yeah.
But doctrinally, I mean, you know, so that means if the little babies are innocent, then, so I got to be innocent, they didn't become sinners, so they didn't fall, so to speak, until they took the forbidden fruit. So there's a specific point in time in babies fall. And that's the Roman book, the Hagen Sharon believes, I'm not sure what they believe as far as they're made as a baby, but they believe that at least at one point in time the doctor thought that babies would go to if they were not baptized in their form of baptism, which is sprinkling, not by immersion, it's not believer's baptism, it's just some type of belief that baptism, in their hermeneutic, their belief, the Hagen Sharon believes that this sprinkling washes away original sin, and those babies that have not had their original sin washed away will be go to limbo. And so, but we don't agree. We don't believe that babies go to limbo. You know,
they get away from limbo.
You know, they get canceled.
Well, it was never part of the theology. It was something that they debated in the Middle Ages, but it never became a tenet in their doctrine, according to several articles.
I guess so. My question is: are babies innocent the same way that Adam and Eve were innocent? Yeah.
But if we don't call them innocent, what do we call them? Babies? That's a good question. Yes.
Well, what Daniel just said made me think, how can they be innocent if we're all born under sin?
Right.
You know, so we can't, we're already judged, you know, as sinful, born with a sinful nature.
Let me ask another question. Was Adam and Eve born with a sinful nature?
They were.
Yes.
Were they born with a sin? Yes. If the living? But they passed down.
They weren't born.
Yeah.
They were created.
Were they created with a sinful nature?
No, they were, I think they were.
They were innocent. Good. They had the propensity.
Okay. Pastor Dan, Tammy, and Bill. Go ahead. Pastor Dan.
They were created with the credence, the ability to choose.
All
right. Right from wrong. Prior to their choice, they were innocent. Had they not sinned, they would still be living today in Eden.
All right. Who's next? Was it Tammy and then Bill?
Okay. Yeah.
And then
if God created man in his own image. And then it says in verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. the evening and the morning are the sixth day. So to say that he created them in a sinful nature seems to me like, how could that be very good?
What? But is there a difference between sinful nature and innocency? Maybe innocent, but still out of that nature, it's a nature of sin. Yeah, Bill, then. Well, and then, is Barbara, well, then, Linda.
Well, Adam and Eve couldn't have experienced sin until the fall, because they were perfect. God created them, and God is not the author of sin. He didn't create sin. Mm-hmm. So therefore, God made Adam and Eve perfectly.
Now, if we say Adam and Eve were perfect, is that?
No.
Okay, that's why we say we created them innocent.
He gave them, they were not, they were innocent, but they had the ability to choose right and wrong.
Yes, that's true, absolutely.
And I think that's right.
Okay, Linda.
Yeah, but if Adam and Eve did not sin, what would our world be like today? Would they still be living?
Apparently so.
Would our whole world be living from day one to be different?
I shall not. They at least shall die, but they didn't eat and lived forever. In fact, who ate first?
Eve
ate first. If Adam had not eaten, what was his condition would be? Any hands on that?
He probably wouldn't be sinning.
That's right, and if he wouldn't be sinning, he'd be living and living and living. He'd have life more extended, and he would be dead pretty soon, so he would be living. So I think Adam, when he saw that, I better stay with my wife, and he took, and so they're both dead in 960 years, yeah. Something like that. So else I leave out. That's all I have hands in. So we don't know. All we know is the word innocent is good for Adam and Eve. Wasn't perfect, wasn't sinless, wasn't righteous. It was innocent because they hadn't yet chosen sin. Now, chapter 5.
They were like little children.
Yes.
I was just going to say, if the definition of innocence is they haven't chosen sin, then babies are innocent.
But that's what I say, is what is wrong with calling babies innocent until they reach a certain point in their lives and they can choose right and wrong, and they choose wrong, whatever. What's that?
Romans 3:23, is it in the next chapter?
Mm-hmm. All of sin?
For all of sin comes short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. So what would you consider babies, Pastor Dan? What would you call babies? What was the name of an innocent or guilty?
Well, they'd be below the age of accountability.
Okay.
If there is a name to call them, that's what you have to call them.
Okay. Albert, anything on that?
I'm on the innocence.
Innocent.
If not, that mindset would mean that every aborted baby is in hell.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to be honest. You're
that
right.
Can't be right.
Aborted babies, 1.5 million every year. Kill them. And by the way, I read an article recently in one of the books that was sent to me about how the nurses kill babies. There's 7 different ways. Horrible. Horrible. If I print that out for you, it'd be it's a horrible situation to read, but these were from doctors that gave the evidence to the nurses that all of what they did, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different ways. Horrible ways. Have I?
Babies were born innocent until they got angry. Babies get angry.
Oh, you better believe it.
They can cry and because they want their way.
You have 4 sons and 1 daughter to prove it. They get angry. You have 4 sons and 1 daughter to prove they get angry.
And we're here ourselves. We didn't escape the whole thing.
That's right. Yeah, Marcus.
To pick up on something Tammy said, the verses we read says there's none good. Okay?
Right.
And we know there's none good but God.
That's
okay?
Right.
But when God created the world, he created it good.
Mm-hmm.
But after he created Adam, it was very good.
Yes.
So Adam had to be good as well as innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Are babies
then
not good?
I suppose they're. Some babies are very bad. Okay.
Yes,
I'm not sure on that.
Yes. It's a very deep doctrine we're talking about here.
Yes, very deep.
Because, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not deep.
It's great.
So, no, but I want to accept children under the age of 6, or children under the age of 10, or...
Well, I'd say 3 or 4 or 5, maybe.
So they're all gone out of the way. They're all going to be able to travel.
So here's the answer to the whole question. You ready for it?
What he said about Catholics, I remember when I was a little girl, somebody told me if a baby wasn't baptized right away, they would go to hell.
Mm-hmm. That was their doctrine, that's right.
They still believe that today.
Even today, that's good.
Yes.
That's Pastor Dan. I think
perhaps a better way of describing it. I mean, innocence should be reserved to Adam and Eve from a doctrinal standpoint of salvation is concerned. For babies under the age of accountability, which would include babies who have not yet been born yet, they can be considered safe and not rather than saved.
Yeah, that's true. They're safe. That's right. I agree with that. That's what the word is.
We're not condemning all little babies to hell.
That's right. They're safe. The Lord does not hold them guilty because they don't understand anything.
As long as we're talking about so-called condemning, maybe too strong a word, unborn children to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Some hyper-Calvinist people that are believing the 5 points of Calvinism plus double reformation, they believe that only the elect babies are safe.
Yes.
Non-elect babies, which we do not believe this.
Yes.
We do not believe this. The non-elect babies are not safe.
That's more heresy. All right, that came out of verse 12. Is that right? All gone out of the way. All right. Well, that's also true in verse number 12. What else is true for these people? Got any hands on that? Yeah, Barbara?
They're unprofitable.
What does it mean to be unprofitable? Barbara?
Which means sour milk. It's not only useless, but it's repulsive.
All right. It's repulsive. It doesn't taste good. It's less sour milk. Unprofitable. What person in the scripture said he's an unprofitable servant?
The one that buried his talents in the sand, and the Lord had given talents to 3 men, and then the unjust steward, I guess.
And the one that they buried, but the other one didn't know
it. No. He buried it. But the other two invested it somehow, and they were able to gain more.
All right, so the Lord called that
unprofitable.
Unprofitable
or unjust.
Yes. So, what does unprofitable mean? How would you define unprofitable? Yes.
Unfruitful.
I think what? Unfruitful. Any other hands on that? Unprofitable. How many people in this world are unprofitable in God's sight?
Almost
everyone. Almost everyone. Right. That's it.
Well, they sound like a trick question. Unprofitable means without any profit.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should have believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
So, the gift of salvation has been provided for everyone in the world, past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know if the Lord is God, this one thinks of everyone in the world as unprofitable. Even well, everyone, both the lost and the saved. I don't think he considers them unprofitable.
What does this verse mean? What does this verse mean? There's none that's... What is the verse? This verse?
Verse 12.
Verse 12, yeah, all gone away. All together become unprofitable. All together. What do you think that means?
Well, those that are out of the way are unprofitable to the Lord.
All right.
But if the Lord is in control of someone, then he can use them for his purposes like he used Christ. I mean, Christ was a perfectly profitable, 100% profitable man. He was the God-man. You know, so certainly we have one example of perfect profitableness, if that such a thing exists. I mean, if that word, if that pairing of words makes sense.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus is the exception. It's Barbara and then woman.
I just looked at become. They are together become unprofitable because they're out of the way. That's a state of being. So they become that way if they are out of the way, which means that if they are in the way, they have to be profitable.
Well, that's
also the state of being.
That's good.
Didn't Jesus say that I'm not perfect?
No, I don't believe him. He was always perfect.
Yeah, but didn't he say, maybe it's in the Catholic thing, I don't know, but he said he's not perfect, only God the Father is perfect.
No, the scripture clearly teaches the whole Trinity is perfect. God the Father is perfect, God the Son is perfect, God the Holy Spirit is perfect. Completely sinless, spotless perfection. Any member of the Trinity. That's what the scripture teaches. That's the answer.
We weren't profitable apart from Christ. For sure. Pastor, sending warm greetings to you and all our BFT Church family. Thank you very much for this morning's message and this afternoon's Bible study. God bless you all in His love, Carl and Vicki.
I'll break you out. We're up in the state of Maine. Maine, let's wave to Carl and Vicki out in the state of Maine. See, we're not simply right here sitting. Many people are out there listening. We appreciate them. Please give us a call, those that are listening to us, at 856-261-9018. For questions at bftbc.org. Yes, pardon.
Well, that goes along with becoming. You have to become profitable. You're not born that way. You have to get that way, and the only way you can get that way is through Christ.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust Him genuinely, not just hypocritically, or possibly partially. So all become unprofitable. And then the last non-profitable, last part of verse 12, maybe we already covered it, but what is that one again? The last nine. On the fourth. The fourth nine. Last part of verse 12. Any hands on that? Yes. Jill.
None that doeth good, no, not one.
None that doeth good. What does good mean as far as God is concerned? Any hands on that? What does God mean, good? What does He mean? And what does the world mean when they use the word good?
It functions according to the way that He would have made it, because that's what happens with the world when He made the world and it was good. It operated how He set it up.
Does all the world agree with what good is and what bad is? Any hands on that? Any hands on that? You want to say anything about that? Yeah, Barbara?
Well, in this day and age, good is all relative anyway.
Albert?
Just a couple minutes ago, you were mentioning the seven steps that the nurses and the medical profession are doing. They think they're doing something good.
Yes.
They truly believe it. And I can't see how educated people can possibly be that way, but but they're...
You're in the medical profession. Do you ever witness more abortions?
This one.
This one, you listen. Oh, my. Was it pleasant or unpleasant?
It was very unpleasant.
Very unpleasant. Yes, Linda?
I remember when in high school, when abortion became legal, a science teacher had a human baby in a glass jar full of water. They showed it in the public school.
They did.
That was horrible. Let me ask this other question. What is the world of non-Christians, non-biblical people, what do they think the definition of good is? Any hands on that? Tammy and then Joe.
Well, like Barbara said, it varies from person to person. There used to be, at least in our country, a standard of Bible morality, but there is not anymore.
And Joe?
I guess in general, if you're talking about the world, non-Christians, mm-hmm. looking at that differentiation, and if you're looking at the world, then, you know, there are no absolutes, and everybody does their own thing according to how it feels, or it feels right, or if they think it's right in their own minds.
Right. That's a non-Christian. Do all genuine Christians agree with what good is? Albert?
No, they do not.
They do not? Any other hands on it? Yeah, Mark? Should Karen?
Well, that, and what Jill said reminds me of what the book of Judges was talking about. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Yes, we read that a couple days ago.
And it's very sad because you had a Levite that went to be, work for a man that had a whole bunch of, a temple of idols.
Yes.
Which was clearly against the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And then you had another Levite that sends his concubine out to be murdered.
Yes, to be murdered. Such evil, then they were the leaders of the people. Are all the leaders in our country or the world today good, standing, upright, and honorable? No, they're not. It's a sad thing. In fact, the leaders, even congressmen, senators, they become more perverse. I'm 80, no, 90, I'm 90 years of age, but in my early days, they were sound, a lot of them sound. They believed in the Constitution, they practiced it. Now look at
it.
It's horrible.
The bill. Yeah. When it comes to like mafia figures, they'll send one person out to kill another person or something like that. But then we have leaders, politicians, that send thousands of people out to kill thousands of people.
Yes, absolutely. Oh,
that distinction in scale is something we're used to, and we don't think much about it. But we really should think about it.
Yes. Yeah, Paul.
I know we're living in the last days and everything, but what caused them now, these senators and congressmen now, to at least fall away from the Constitution instead of being sound the way it was back in the day?
Good question. They do not hold the Constitution over them. There's ways to amend the Constitution. Big, long ways, but you can do it. Until you amend it, it sticks. As we said in the professor, but top there, researches all these different legal, 14 different legal standards, nothing but the Constitution. In fact, nothing shall be knocking apart until you do it right. Our country doesn't care anymore. You just do everything you want. Without any constitutional authority, and against Constitution, yes, no good, then kill.
All right, two things. Is the Constitution dying in the United States?
Let's watch this and we'll throw that question. We have to re-answer everything. Hello?
Hi, yes. This is Rebecca Howell from South Carolina.
Rebecca, good. Rebecca Howell.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Sure. I just wanted to just say hello to everybody and just make a comment if I could about verse 12, about there's none that you have seen, no, not one.
Yes.
It just made me think of in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, the Lord saying that for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so anything good would be the first thing, good thing would be to be saved. And then anything after that would be to do things for the Lord out of faith. And then whatever is not in faith is sin. That's not pleasing to Him. So I'm
just thinking that these verse 12 and the verses 9 through 12 are in reference to all of us being in an unsafe state. And so there's nothing that you can do that will be good in our identity. So just thinking about that relationship there. So. Well, good. Thank you, Rebecca. Let's wait for Rebecca in South Carolina. Rebecca and they did that. They came here many months ago and they kept on going and listening to us on the internet, so praise the Lord for that. I forget what our last question was. Yeah, Linda, go ahead.
Two questions. Number one, is the Constitution dying? And
yeah.
Number two, a minister on TV said the Constitution was the best thing ever written in the history of the world.
Yes, the first question is not dying, but it's all mad as well be dead because they're not using it. See, First Amendment, Second Amendment, 14th Amendment, all kinds of things. They're just knocking up our bill.
I have in my hand here a copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
I got my copy from the John Birch Society. I think it was $2.
Okay.
There are other companies that print it as well. In fact, a lot of bookstores carry copies of it, similar to this, sometimes it's in bigger print. Mm-hmm. Everyone should read it.
Yes.
Everyone should get a copy of it and read it, because it is not the greatest document ever written. The Bible is.
Amen.
However, this comes at a distant second to the Bible. It's nowhere near as good as the Bible. But it's also, there's another book with three of the founding fathers wrote about the purpose of the Constitution and the intent in writing the Constitution. And it's quite different than what we hear today from any of our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats or whatever.
Yes. The president.
Well, it's just like the, to a lesser extent, just like the Word of God, the Scripture is being attacked,
yes,
questioned and doubted and tried to be cut up.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing's happening to the Constitution. It's being attacked,
mm-hmm,
trying to be cut up. I mean, it stands. It's there.
Yes.
But people are attacking it.
Yes. Albert and Bill.
I was just saying that the Constitution, the writers of it, were probably the closest men of God writing articles at that time,
mm-hmm,
going into politics, going to the United States Foundation, in like manner that's being attacked. But it's biblically principled.
Mm-hmm. Who was next? Someone next? Oh, yeah, John, sir.
Somebody said they had done some. I didn't research this. I'm only reiterating what another person had done. Well, actually, no. Let me back that statement up. Okay, we all know that the Declaration of Independence was written in 1776. This friend of mine, who said that they did some research, and they read that in 1773. That's when the New World Order came about, and I thought it was very interesting that the NWO, New World Order,
mm-hmm,
came about, which is very, very repulsive. Only 3 years before, not after,
mm-hmm,
before.
Mm-hmm.
3 years before, Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
So I question, I don't know if anybody else, I think there's something wrong there.
Yes.
No, the chronological order of those two things happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see if the NWO came several years after the Declaration of Independence, but it makes me almost doubt, even though I do believe there are a lot of good men who wrote Declaration of Independence, there are a lot of people who are Masonic or
Warped
in nature as well.
That's true.
Which makes me doubt that, as well as the chronological order of,
mm-hmm,
how and when that happened with that New World,
yes,
Order.
I did some research also. There are three things that we're bound by. Three things. Number one, the Constitution of the United States has been. Secondly, any amendment or law that is under that Constitution and agrees with the Constitution, and any treaty that is postulated and completely agrees with that Constitution. Only these three things are the complete law of the land. Anything else is not the law of the land. Now, the judges in the Supreme Court, they can change this and change that unconstitutionally. The law is sometimes unconstitutional. And the treaty is unconstitutional. Any treaty or law that's unconstitutional is not a law, according to the definition of what rules our country. If you want comments on it or state it, I'll send it to you. I did some research on it. That's true. Any other comments on that before we go on to the next one? Yes, Barbara?
Well, the New World Order is not a new thing. We're just going back to the Tower of Babel.
Back to the Tower of Babel. Greg Wallens, very good comment. We're in verse 12. Excuse me. Paul, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to keep an eye on Paul.
Oh, yes. Well, it's supposed to be at...
Well, 2:30 to 3:10, but yesterday 2:44.
2:44. Okay, keep an eye out. We'll keep an eye out, and Bill's got eyes in the back of his head, so he'll be able to...
All right. I'm on the front. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, that's very good. As far as the last verse 12 that we're on, but there's none that doeth good. What's the other expression of that addition of none? No, not one. They have to repeat themselves. A lot of people say, well, I'm an exception. Are there any exceptions to this? Not a single person doeth good. Hey, Barbara.
This, there is none righteous and there is none that doeth good is generally everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the no, not one is specifically individual.
That's good. It applies it right to the each person, every individual person. Let's go ahead and read 13, 14, and 15 together. Their thrones are not the sepulchre, but their tongues are the age of the sea. The poison of the ass is under their lips. With mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are strangers in blood. All right. We'll get a little bit over, maybe we'll take this up next week, but do you have any comments on the throat here, first of all? What does that mean about the throat? Any hands on that? What is true of the throat according to God? Yeah, Jill?
Well, I'm just looking at the word sepulcher. Your throat is an open sepulcher. Mm-hmm. Down here it says tomb, grave, burial, vault. And to me, well, it sounds like it's symbolic of, or, you know, it means almost like a form of death. I mean, I know sepulcher means like a whole actual grave, a little tomb, blah, 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 but,
yeah,
you know, tying hand in hand with death, you know, everything that comes out of the mouth is evil. I mean, you know, certainly without God it is, but we shouldn't rely on our mouth, rely on God's words.
Yeah, Barbara, I shouldn't. Tammy?
Matthew 23:27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of all that death coming right from the throat.
That's right. Now, if there's no embalming, if there's no embalming, just the body that's died and put in the sepulcher, what's the smell of that sepulcher? Any hands on that? What's the smell of that sepulcher? There's no embalming in the body.
It's
no death. It's a horrible thing, see? Now, why do people embalm before their funerals? How they, why they embalm before their funerals? Why do people embalm? The helper and the bill.
So that they're not prematuring into the decaying process of the body in there.
Right.
Nobody will be sitting in front
of them. Who are you sitting in front of? Bill.
It's also to make sure that the person actually is dead.
That's possible. Because if some people who thought to be dead and really aren't dead, that's what you're talking about.
I heard years, centuries ago when they were in deep comas, but people thought they were dead.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they wake up.
That's the same thing.
In the Victorian era, they actually had little bells above ground so that if the person were buried and became conscious again, they could ring the little bell. Somebody knew they were in
there. I heard one time there was a little boy in India. There was a little boy in India, I believe it was, and or I think it was India, but. Or maybe it was a Spanish country some sort, where at his funeral he woke up and asked for a glass of water.
Yeah.
And then the doctor saw that he was dead and he died again and the doctor pronounced him dead. After that.
That's interesting, very sad. So the mouth is an open sepulcher. What would that? How would you describe that to someone? Yeah, Paul.
Wouldn't the sepulcher be described as the coffin of the gravesite?
Yes. And before they had embalming fluids, did they embalm in the old days?
No.
How soon did they embalm? Egyptian, okay. That's your name.
Well, regarding the scripture says that Joseph.
Yeah, that's right. That Joseph was. But in general, they didn't do it as much as they would later. And if they're not embalmed, and how many days do they want to have the funeral if they're unembalmed? How many days?
Three days.
Three days. That's sometimes get into four, and I'm pretty sure there's some sort of bill and then that's a day.
To this day, many Jews don't believe in embalming. They believe in being buried
by
the
right. Day. The first day. That's right. When the president.
Yeah, like you said, he said, Jews, some people check the Judaism, Jewish people.
Right.
Bury, don't involve it during the next day.
That's right, exactly. Why is that the case? Is that, why do they not like to be involved?
Is it because of their religion?
Okay.
Is it because of their faith, their religion?
Possibly. Can?
The scripture says the life is in the blood.
Life is in the blood?
Does it have to do with that?
Possibly. What big political figure?
And when they involve, they take the blood out.
Take the blood out, that's right. They drain the blood. What political figure that was involved and still, I think, exists somewhere? President?
Stalin, is it? Or?
I think it's Stalin. I mean, when you're really involved strong, you can carry on for a long time, then you can worship that dead person.
Well, Joseph was involved, and And it seemed like they grieved for him for a long, long time.
70 days.
Yes. And then they carried, no, they didn't carry him. They carried his father. Into, I think his father was also in Baal Jacob.
Yeah.
And they carried him into, they took him to the promised land to grieve. And they buried him in the cave of Machpelah.
Now, today, what is embalming fluid used by? Not only in people to prevent who dead, who died, what else do they use embalming fluid for? Where else is embalming fluid?
Blood transfusions?
Possibly.
It's used to preserve specimens.
Yes, what else? What is the name of the embalming fluid?
Formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde, yeah, that's your name.
Somewhere, someplace in the food industry?
Someplace in the so-called injections, so-called injectable things.
Vaccines,
different ones. A list of them, what kind of thing? One of them, and some of them, I can't remember which one it is. Formaldehyde. It's interesting. Yeah. Formaldehyde, yeah.
They also use aborted baby parts in vaccines.
Yes, a lot of things. Yes, Jill?
Certain labels, certain beauty parts, that's what the word formaldehyde is.
Well, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to hide.
Yeah.
What did she say?
Well, she's
so much for her. She's so what did you say, Linda? She's very much
to
know.
No,
I know.
No.
No,
I saw on the label certain beauty products, the word formaldehyde, and that just be a casual comment saying so much for a quote unquote beauty product.
Well, that's why they're beauty, because they keep you.
All right. We're going to stop right here. Do you have any comments or questions before we close? Let's close with the word. Father, we do thank you for thy word. Thank you for the truth of thy word. How it's spelled out. None. We believe thy words. In thy sight, they are true. They are standard. They are righteous. They are unchangeable. We would pray, Lord, that if the vanity that are in the sound of our voice, that know thy word, and they are lost, may they come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. In him is our righteousness possible, not in our own self, not in our own flesh. And thank you for those that came this morning, this afternoon, those that contributed and talked and discussed. And thank you for those listening on the internet that came and talked to us as well. Just praise the Lord for all these people that are interested in what we're talking about and interested in thy word. Guide us, those of us who are here, if those of us are genuine saved, genuine Christians, help us to live for our Savior. And any of the unsaved yet, never accepted the Lord by their hearts regularly and genuinely as their Savior, and they do that immediately this day. The day of blessed news brings back on the Thursday for the Bible study and prayer meeting. Continue to help those of us who love thee, serve thee, accept thee. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.